Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were.
Welcome, welcome once again to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Reginald Camper, and I will be your host. The show is Open 16. A buddy of mine called me and said, I thought you were Streets 1001. I'm not Streets 1001. The union have bought that show, and they're just sitting on it to keep you dumb. So I am Open 16, and Open 16, you know, we believe in just talk about whatever you want to talk about, anything on your mind. You're more welcome to share it with us. We don't say your name unless you want your name said. For anybody that's not on Facebook and they want to call in, the number is 602-753-3017. That's 602-753-3017. If you want to go on Facebook, you can watch us on Facebook, or you can go on, you can catch us on other networks. So it's an open show. I'm a go to the people that's, I go by the first three of your number. I don't know your name. I don't know your face. I go by the first three of your number. So we're going to go open and just talk. If it's anything you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome. This is not my show. It's your show. So if it's something you want to talk about, cutting your grass, you're having a hard time cutting it, it's okay with me. If you want to talk about my boss making me do a lot of work and I get restrictions, hey, let's talk. So it's an open show. It's an open platform. So I'm going to go to the show. I have Dan here. So I'm going to say welcome to Dan.
Hey, Reggie, how are
you? You got it. We just starting, Dan. I'm going to put Pat in because Pat here. So I'm going to say welcome to Pat.
Hold on. Dan.
Welcome to Pat. Can you hear
Hello,
me, Pat?
Hello, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, so Dan, you and Pat here. If there's anything you'd like to discuss, we're here. So it's an open platform. I'm going to give you the floor, Dan.
Okay, thank you. I just got this newsletter. It's like a news newspaper article about what when the state passed the budget, the budget implementation bill. There's a couple paragraphs in there for Chicago, who can now they're going to mortgage their future payments from the state. So the state of Illinois gives Chicago certain amount of money each year for schools, infrastructure, et cetera. Now the city wants to amortize that. So what will happen? What I guess the end run is they want to do an end run about around paying their bills. So this is considered secured debt. Any kind of bonds is secured debt. This is secured debt bonds. So it'll be put in a separate fund. And the unsecured creditors are now the pensioners, and bill collectors for the city, the vendors for the city. So this is coinciding with that newspaper article on Pat's site a couple of weeks ago, how Emmanuel started a new fund. Well, this is the bread and butter of how that fund is run. So the cities like it because they can borrow at lower rates, and the risk to bondholders is reduced. The bondholders will get paid no matter what. The pensioners and vendors that the city owes money to will not get paid. They'll get a dime on the dollar during bankruptcy. So this is where our city's headed. And if anyone doesn't think so, they're out of their mind.
Wow. That's something else.
Well,
go ahead, Pat.
In that regard, we've been told many a times that before that happens, the city has to open up their books and sell off their assets before they don't pay us. I mean, that's what we're going on, too. The only way to get by that is if they change that that law in 1970, that Illinois state law. And it did go up, but believe it or not, there was people in Springfield that saved our ass because I guess they were also concerned about themselves in that bill. So that didn't pass that time. But, you know, my understanding is if they ever do pass the bill, then we're screwed.
Well, here's this state law that's just passed. It lets the city, they're going to have a $3 billion bond issue to be backed by $660 million a year in city sales tax revenue for 40 years. So what they're doing is amortizing future revenue that's not even there yet. And these bondholders will get paid first before any vendors or debtors to the city, including pension funds. So this is another way for our Republican mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who calls himself a Democrat, to spoof city workers and retirees and vendors that provide service to the city.
Wow. Wow, that's something else.
And then, you know, on the other hand, too, he caused all this debt. 6 years of borrowing. I mean, this has been going on for 6 years. I said it a long time ago. This man needs to be in a straitjacket where he can't sign his name to anything. I called on the alderman to do something. This is about 3-4 years ago, and nobody would do anything. The only one that spoke up about it was Alderman 32. What's his name? Scott something?
Waugh-Speck.
Right. And he's the only one that spoke up at the time. And him and Tom Trencher, I mean, there's no way that we're broke. That's another thing, too, because these books would have to be open, and they have to go through them and all that. They're going to have to prove a lot of things. And a lot of people will go to jail. So, I mean,
we hope, but in this scenario, all secured debt gets paid in full over everything, even in bankruptcy. So this new scheme will be secured debt to bondholders. If the city goes bankrupt, everyone else will take a hit. They'll get a dime on the dollar, however the bankruptcy judge rules, including pensioners. So this, and Chicago's not the only city implementing this. Anyone with home rule can do it, any city with home rule. As we know, with home rule, all these suburbs like Bridgeview that built the Chicago Fire Stadium, those homeowners are screwed. Those homeowners owe so much for that stadium, lost so much money in revenue compared to the cost to build it. Those homeowners owe about $50,000 a home in backed up real estate taxes to pay that stadium off. It's ridiculous. So I would never buy a house in any suburb with home rule like Bridgeview or Rosemont has the same problem. Rosemont was overbuilt, and a lot of their look at that casino that went bankrupt. Just Rosemont had to hold the debt for that. So they're screwed.
Wow.
We got that other thing going on. Did you see the thing I posted about the CTA and their bids?
No, not yet.
I posted it today. Oh, you're going to love this one. It's something, my memory's a little slack right now, but it's something about people that put in the bids for that train line, that overfly and all that shit for the CTA. We're going to be paying them $1, $3 million for their troubles of submitting bids, even if they don't win. And why don't we get our grandkids to start drawing pictures with crayons and all that and submitting them? I mean, we're supposed to be broke and we're going to pay them just to submit a bid?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I wonder when people are going to start to wake up, including city workers and annuitants. You know, they had the annuitant election last Thursday. A total
right.
of out of thousands and thousands of retirees, guess how many came out to vote? 60.
30?
60.
60.
So grand total of 60 out of thousands of annuitants and their widows, 60 came out to vote. It's really a shame. That's the first time they had an election in the history of the fund, which is over 70 years old, for retiree annuitants. First election ever, and only 60 people came out.
You've been to court. You see what happens at court. It's
yep,
the same thing.
Same thing.
And, you know, this is their money. This, you know, if they don't care about getting screwed, they got to look at the fact, the cold hard fact is, like, Reg, his kids are going to get screwed out of money. His grandkids are going to get screwed out of money. This isn't only the retirees. This isn't only for you and me. This is for the currents, too. Because whatever happens to us, it's going to happen to them, but it's going to be 10 times worse. And I can't get that into their heads. They want to believe what the union tells them and everybody else tells them, and it's all total bullshit.
It's go ahead.
Hey, Dan, don't forget your thought, please. I'm going to piggyback off what you and Pat saying. The union loves this. When I was in office, one of the main things they always say is, this is how we do things. And what I mean by that term is, a buddy of mine's called me and told me in so many words that they're negotiating the contract, but they're not telling the members that they're going to have to pay their own health care. The city has asked for more furlough days. The city has asked for random drug tests. And he said that you're going to give them all of it. So I'm like, hey, don't call me. I'm not a member no more of the e-board. Call the people y'all voted in. He said, well, I didn't vote. Well, hey, that's your fault. So my point is, I'm going to retire one day, hopefully. But I'm stuck with people that don't care about their own life. So I'm going to let Dan go for the flip, but I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, I totally agree, and I'm a little, I'm a little angry too because they don't care about them, but I'm impacted by their carelessness. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to do the right thing, you know, educate people like we are, we're all doing, and they don't care, but they're hurting us too. If it was just hurting themselves, I wouldn't care, but they're hurting us. They're hurting annuitants because we're all part of the fund. We're all part of this LABF fund. We don't have a choice. Had I known when I started my career that the fund annuitants and current workers would be so lackadaisical, I would have got a job in another, with another fund, where my pension went into another fund. But, you know, you can't change time. So I'm in this fund, and I'm going to fight for it, what's rightfully ours. And as Pat said, this is generational losses. This is your kids and grandkids. All this health care that these retirees are paying, that could go into a savings account to an inheritance for their kids. It could pay for their tuition. It could pay for a new car. It could pay for a lot of things. It could pay for an inheritance. That won't be there. And these current workers, a lot of annuitants, don't seem to care. So it's sad. It's really sad.
Hey, Dan. You once told me when we were talking, you said the union ran under integrity. Now, if they ran under that, do you think integrity is you already have a website? 1001 has a website, and they have all different kinds of social media. Put everything that you talk about on meetings on your website. Put down there that Nicole Hayes owns a restaurant on 31st Street. Put down there that Bob Schinelli owns T.I., consultants and does a lot of private consultants for the union. So all the members can see it. Put down the salaries, the high salaries, the cost of the cars, the credit cards, the double pensions and the triple pensions, how many family members you got hired without going through the correct procedures. That's integrity. And from my understanding, that's integrity. But that's not going to never happen. And it's not going to happen because there's two parts of this union. There's the privilege, and there's the people or sheets to follow. But the privilege are smart enough to know, as long as we show up to vote, the sheets going to follow what we do, because if you don't follow, we'll destroy you. So I just want to throw that out there.
You're right. They'll try and destroy you. But they know, I mean, they'll probably go after some people, but if you don't let them destroy you, they can't. I mean, me and you have been doing this show for a long time. They tried to destroy us, or me, and, you know, I showed up every day and did my job. I mean, what can they do? Not a whole lot. So I don't know what these people are afraid of, except for the general laborers. They're on probation 4 years. I don't know why a career service is laborer is afraid at all. I really don't.
Now, here, since we're on this here subject, too, there's another thing I want to throw out there. The upper echelons of our great city of Chicago, the people above managers, probably like your deputy commissioners and, you know, people like that, the females are going to get a 12-week paid leave. Alderman 39, Lorino, and your good friend, O'Connor, 40, are sponsoring a bill to get them up to 12 weeks maternity leave. And I put it out there and I says, oh, you know, that's nice. These are people that got the job through who they knew, not what they knew. And I got jumped on a little bit. And I says, well, I better clarify this, what I'm talking about. I says, you take a woman, they have no qualms about it on sanitation. You throw her in an alley in one of the worst hoods there is, in darkness, tell her to work alone back there for $19 an hour. She gets sick. She gets a cold or the flu or something. It's up to the city if they want to give her a vacation day. You don't get a vacation day automatically. And I says, you know, why is that? And then all of a sudden these people, they come along. Now, the city's excuse is these are upper management people. If they get sick or if they take time off, they don't have to be replaced. That, you know, the department will keep on running or their bureau will keep on running. Well, what the fuck you need these people for in the first place then? Now, tell me how broke they are if they're going to turn around and spend all this money on that. I mean, I got nothing against having babies and all that. But what makes them special, they're all making over $100,000 a year. That was part of their contract when they were hired. They knew what they were getting or what they weren't getting. And, you know, now they're going to take away from the female laborers on the jobs that are busting their ass. Not only that, you got these the crossing guards. I think crossing guards make something like $12 or $13 an hour. I mean, what kind of bullshit is this? And they're going to sit there and cry broke. And Tutu just he keeps throwing money around like crazy. He's buying this election as fast as he could.
Well, guess what, Pat? Those the people you're talking about, I think, are Shackman exempt. So they're under a different contract than the career service people. But the career service laborers, you call their union and ask, why are the Shackman exempt getting 12 weeks maternity and we don't? Now, the reason Rahm and O'Connor are doing this, they're gearing up for the next election. Pat O'Connor had a rough time in the last election. He's going down this time. That's my prediction. So he needs all the help he can get from non-patronage, from patronage workers that are Shackman exempt, all these deputy commissioners like Bill Honadel, the superintendent, and all these other deputy commissioners downtown hiding in offices. So, but the deputy commissioners aren't going to be – they don't vote in our ward, okay? The residents of the 40th ward vote for O'Connor or against him. And last time, over 44% voted against him. So I'm predicting that's going to go over 50. And with my help and the help of other volunteers for Diane DeLayden, who ran against him, she's going to run for running. She's going to campaign again as a candidate and run against him. So O'Connor and Rahm are getting worried, and this is one way they're going to try and beef up their political armies.
You know what, Pat, I know you want to say something. I'm going to throw this in and I'm going to give it to you, Pat. There's a commercial that it comes on that kills me. It's a union commercial, and they say, "We are proud union workers." I'm going to download it. I'm going to play it next week. And then they have a lady say, "And we have women." And then another lady comes, "Women." And the reason it catches me because I sat on the e-board, and they have a women's caucus. A woman caucus on the e-board, and they're trying to turn the union to more a woman-type union, and it bothers me. I'm going to tell you why it bothers me. One, they want the women to be the heads in charge, but yet and still, Danny, you know you was in the alley with me, we carry the women through the alleys. And I'm not trying to, you know, hit the women under the belt because there's a lot of women that can do their own job. But majority of the women, we carry them. But they want to put the woman in top so they have anybody else in top because they control the woman. Now, it bothers me. I don't say too much about it, but my thing is women vote. The average woman vote. Danny, you was out there. It was more women than anything. The average woman vote. They going out of voters. They don't care about what goes on in the alley. They care about the numbers of the election. So that's something that bothers me because I see the union, 1001, that I can finger point, is trying to make 1001, not 1001 no more, 1001, because the men don't vote, so you're 1001 now, so you got to carry that woman, and you're going to get rolled up when anything in the alley is not picked up, and you're the burden of the back now. So I'm going to give it to you, Darren, or Pat.
You know, I totally agree with you. The union is trying to destroy this. They want Rahm to privatize. They're all in on it with him. They already made theirs. Gianelli can retire, walk away. He's made millions of dollars since 1996, I predict. But it's not great for the labor citywide or the general labor citywide. Now, with this past retiree trustee election, you know, I was bringing up the case where our investors – that are giving campaign cash to certain candidates. I have an article from 2003, Ariel Capital Management, which manages almost $600 million in state pension funds, contribute $117,000 to Blagojevich's campaign. Now, Ariel Capital Management manages well over $60 million in the laborers' fund. So I'm sure they're giving money to Rahm Emanuel also. And this Misro Financial, which is the biggest investor in our fund, is they have well over $50 million of our investments. They also get – one of their CEOs gave $14,000 to Blagojevich. Now, I'm sure they gave money to Rahm. I don't have the figures yet, but the ethics statements will reveal that when he runs for mayor next time. So I'm trying to explain this to laborers in the fund. And apparently, you know, retirees, and apparently it's either too complicated or they don't care or they're, you know, and a lot of retirees live out of town or were out of town on vacation. I understand that. But this the retiree trustee election is every 3 years in October. Retirees got to start making plans to keep October open so they can come out to vote. This is the future of their funds. And it doesn't look good. Now, when they release the newsletter, which comes out in November, you watch. I predict 2016, there'll be another loss for the fund. Now, I hope I'm wrong. But if there was a gain for the fund, they would have sent that newsletter out January 1st of this year. You know what I'm saying? But since there's probably a loss, I believe it's coming out in November like the last one. So retirees better wake up. It may already be too late, but hopefully it isn't.
See, like I told you before, too, I still don't understand the fact that the stock market, they just had an article now, and it's getting pretty near 23,000 points, the Dow. I mean, everything's going up. How come our earnings aren't going up? It just doesn't make any sense at all. You think everybody would put two and two together and go, wait a minute, since everything's going great with the stock market, funds are tied into that, how come we're losing money?
Because these funds that manage our capital, our funds in the fund that manage the revenue, are giving money to politicians so they can invest money, win or lose. As long as they give money to politicians, the politicians don't care if they gain money or lose money. And this is up to the trustees, the 8 trustees of the fund. I believe most of them are genuine, but we're fighting against 4 appointed by the city. The 4 appointed by the city doesn't want to pay any pension. So by law, they have to. So their end run is, well, since we have to pay a pension, let's invest it into the ground so there is no more pension, then we don't have to pay it.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow, that's sad. It's sad. You know, it's sad because, yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I just wanted to throw it in there. We've been warning people left and right what was going to happen, and everything we predicted has come true. So, I mean, I don't know what else to do anymore.
Well, it's true. When history, in 20 years, when history is written and the funds are busted and people are complaining, at least we can say, as us, there's a couple activists, you know, the people that go to court. There's a handful of activists in the fund. They warn people. So these people can't say, including these current employees, gee, I didn't know that. Gee, nobody told me. They knew it. So it's been on your City Workers Past and Present website. It's been on the show. I've talked to people. People are very knowledgeable. It's a court case. Every retiree knows that we're in trouble. But that's only a handful of the fund. There's like 30 to 50 in the fund that probably actually believe it may go insolvent. Or it may not, but they're worried about it, as we are. But the others, I don't know what's on the news.
Yep.
There's another part, too, with the retirees. I get a chuckle out of it. The city, out of the kind heart, are going to cover the people that retired before 1989. Well, can people do simple math or what? These people are 90 to 100 years old that they're talking about. So what are they going to do? Live a year? Live 2 years? No. What's Reggie going to do when he retires? All the years he's going to have left. I mean, it's just it's so much bullshit. No, really, I'm on the up and up on it. I mean, it's so much bullshit. Sure, we should take care of the older guys. I'm not complaining about that. But don't sit there and beat your fucking chest that you're actually going to do something for somebody. And that's like, I think Dan falls into this category, too. They changed our class. There was 3 classes. All of a sudden, they came out of court. Nobody knew about it. There was a 4th class added. And it's everybody that retired after 1989 and that wasn't entitled to Social Security, which is me and probably Dan. So, I mean, all of a sudden, we were thrown out the window with no reasoning, no why or nothing. Nobody stopped anything. And, you know, like I said, the people we had in court didn't even know this happened because I'm calling them on the phone. Some woman's posting it on the site, and I'm like, what the hell is this shit? We're in another class? They invented a 4th class today? And everybody's going, no, no, no. And sure enough, we got right by the lawyer, and it went on there. So now we're in this class where they want to give us $25 a month. They could go pound that $25 a month. You know, in the last 60 days, Blue Cross came out, and they says our rates are going to go up 23%. Now, my wife is still on the program, the city program. Well, it's not the city program anymore. She's on Obamacare. But she has Blue Cross. Her rates are going to go up 23%. Then she gets a letter stating her PPO health care insurance, they're not going to offer it anymore. But don't worry. They're going to put her in another plan, and they're going to let us know what's involved with it, what you have, and how much it's going to cost. Still haven't received anything on it. I mean, this shit just keeps on going on. And then the court case, you feel like you're a ping pong ball. You're bouncing back and forth, and none of this is making sense. And the city's doing the goddamn thing that they want to do. They're playing right into it, where they want to keep continuing it until the funds run out. You know, this lawyer, he's doing a lot of this out of pocket. I mean, there's no way. This thing had to cost them at least $2, $3 million, you know, with the prices of lawyers and all that, all the time that's been spent on this. And, you know, yeah, we give them donations, but we're not coming close to that. They're nowhere close to that. So, I mean, he's still in there. He's hanging in there, but I guess they're trying to drive him down to where finally he walks away from it.
Yeah, I know the judge at one of the court hearings ruled he will decide later whether the lawyer, if and how much he gets paid. So hopefully the judge will be a little sympathetic if he's the winning lawyer, because this has been going on 4 years, correct, Pat? The Labor's Fund
roughly about 4 years, maybe a little longer.
The Labor's Fund hires a lawyer for 4 years, probably paying $1 million or more to fight a $25 subsidy. Is that really worth it to the fund? See, the fund doesn't – this is where I believe the fund doesn't care about revenue. You have to cut your losses if you're making these decisions. You knew this case would go on 4 years. You're going to hire a lawyer to pay him millions of dollars over 4 years to fight a $25 subsidy?
If they lose, Dan, if they lose, that's big money, because you're talking back to 2013 they would have to go. Well, so all these years, all these overpayments and all that, you know, like I told you, I retired in 2004. My insurance went up $700 and some in the 4 years before we got dropped. 4 years, $700 and some. My health insurance used to go up maybe $50 a year, which with the cost of living, I was able to handle. It was no big deal. I would use part of that to cover it. But now there's no way to cover it. It's getting totally out of hand.
Yeah, but it just seems like 25. But they paid a subsidy years ago. They didn't fight it in court. So why would they just want to fight it because they don't want us to get a dime. They just want to pay us what they have to, you know. But what, can't you hire tell the lawyer? You know, it sounds like the court's gonna go with the subsidy, Pat, from what I heard in the last court case. Because the fund never admitted that they were liable for the subsidy. And last week they admitted, yeah, we agree that there should be a subsidy. So that's for 13. So this is ongoing. So, you know, 25 isn't a lot, but I don't think that includes what the city owes to retirees, because they couldn't get
No, that's from the pension board. That's what the pension board used to kick in.
Right.
You know, now the pension board isn't even liable for our health insurance. There was something that where they used to kick in $25 or $50 a month, you know, towards our health care, but they didn't have to do it. And then, you know, they dropped that. Now all of a sudden they're saying that, you know, they're going to pay it. But for $25, I mean, what are you going to do with $25?
Well, I know it's better than nothing.
That's what we.
Our lawyer said it's in perpetuity, so it's the rest of your life. So, if you're going to live, say, even 10 years, that adds up. It's something. Now, that doesn't include what the city will owe us or owe Korshak annuitants. So,
well,
this
that's why they're doing this. They're trying to get out of that other part. That's why they're doing that. They're going to turn around and say, well, look, you know, we're offering them this, you know. That's part of their plan, the master plan. They know what the hell they're doing. And you know the best part, Dan and Reg, they're there to make their money. Everything with the city, you know, sue, okay, you pay off, the lawyers make their cut, you know, and that's some big bucks. And the city, they don't care. They'll fight anything, and they know they're going to wind up paying. But
right.
That's what we got to put up with.
Right. Taxpayers
hey,
with this bill, the big bill.
Hey, Dan, let me say something real quick. We got another call. I'm going to let him get in. But I'm going to say this real quick because I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at the $25, but if I want to make a joke out of this, the $25 for all the retirees to buy you some weed and get high and look outside the window. Things are wrong for my high. And the reason I'm joking about it because $25 can't do nothing for no retiree. You charging so much in medical. I went 2 years. I'm a city employee. I went 2 years with no medical insurance because the union wanted to stick a dick in my ass. And I went 2 years with no medical. They couldn't find my paperwork. 2 years. And I realized, wow, it is hard living without no medical because you can't go to the doctor. So if I call off work, I can't get a doctor's statement. So that means I'm going to get rolled up. 2 years. So I understand.
Yeah.
Dan, keep your thought because I'm coming back to you. Another statement. I was the one that represented Kenny Austin in his hearing. It's been in the newspaper. I was the BA that represented Kenny Austin in his hearing. I have a lot of information that I know. And I lost my job over, they didn't say nothing why I lost it, but I lost it. But guess what? Kenny Austin got his job back, and I know the evidence against Kenny Austin. So it shows you no matter how much you are right, you're always going to be wrong. And here it is that the person that he was with that was had good license, they had nothing to do with it, was sitting on the passenger side, lost his job for taking the rap, and, hey, it is what it is. But I can't blame Kerry Austin for getting her son her job back. For the simple reason, he don't work for the city per se. He works for Kerry Austin under the packages they give her. But I blame 34th Ward if you don't like it. If you don't like Kenny Austin back with the city, 34th Ward should say something. Because it's our money. We the ones that paying the taxes. So I'm going to get to the next caller, Dan. Whatever you want to say, after the next caller, I'm going to throw you back in, Dan. 516.
773-516. What's up,
Reds? We're talking about
what's
all different
on?
Kind of subjects. It's an open platform. You can talk about anything you want. We're talking about the pensions. We're talking about retirees. We're talking about the general laborers. Anything you would like to talk about. It's an open platform.
You know, I was listening to it. I jumped in late and I heard Dan and what's the other guy name? Pat. Is that? Yeah, I heard them talking about some of the issues, man. And you know what? You say you was laughing about the $25. You know, a labor came to me, and he was a black guy. He said, you know what, man? And I know this is getting off the subject of the pension and the health care. But he said, you know what? He said, you know what? Negroes make me sick. I say, well, I'm your buddy. I'm a Negro. He said, well, I make exceptions. And I'm saying that because it's just so bad, man, that how one, we treat each other. And two, it's crazy because it's really no real big benefit. I mean, it's a personal benefit for them and their families, but, you know, they got on me about all this that's going on and all of this that they need to get done in these wards. They was getting on me about a big red-ass raggedy truck that was sitting on the lot that wasn't bothering nobody. And it's the Negroes, but my point is this. I should have it where it should be parked at. But, you know what, I was looking at, it was more convenient for me to have it there. Not that the truck don't run. I was moving the truck. But it's like I seen people who had vehicles on that lot for 3 years that wasn't running and didn't have no plates on it. And they didn't say nothing. But it's just some of the stuff that we Negroes do to each other. And like you say, you do have to laugh because a lot of it is petty. We run in the office on each other where you know so-and-so did more less units than me and so-and-so did. It's some of the stuff that we do to each other is funny, brother. But I know I'm going to go back to the pension and all of that. But when you really look at it, these cats don't care about us. We, whether we black or white or whatever, the people that's making money is about rich and poor. These guys could give up. All these cases we fight, 99% of them you losing. If you ain't got a concrete case, but then all the judges and lawyers are bought and sold. I mean, you look at, like I said, I told you guys, look up Trinity versus Pagliaro. These guys are sworn in to tell the truth and help the people. And as soon as they get in the courtroom, you got people losing houses. You got people losing houses over taxes. You got people losing their house over a water bill. And most, and when you look at this case, Trinity versus Pagliaro, it's saying that this city themselves have to be in the courtroom to fight you, but they send the lawyers to do it. And the lawyers know they're not even supposed to be there fighting the case. So it's all a big sham. It's all a big game. And we going back and forth. It pretty much looks like on all ends with whatever color it is, it has come down to you're not winning no cases up in these courtrooms. You're not winning. No. And it's almost like, what's the sense of fighting? But you're just getting stuck so hard, it's like sitting on the nail. You got to do something. You can't, it's like you just can't, it's like I walk up to you, Red, yeah, then just slap you upside the head. At some point, you're going to say, you know what, he's not going to hit me no more. So I know the driving us makes us do this, but after a while, man, it's like you almost get tired. And then when it's like you fighting by yourself and you can't get the army to rise up with you and fight, it's almost – and they pretty much know that. They, half of the people, if they ain't got them in their pocket, they got them scared. So we out here trying to win these cases and running up in these fake phony hearings, and they all bogus.
But I'm gonna make a statement.
Back to these Negroes, we need to cut it out. We really need to cut it out. But anyway, go ahead, Reggie. Make your statement. I apologize.
I'm gonna make a statement. I'm gonna make you a statement. If you want to rebuttal, I'm gonna let you rebuttal. Then I'm gonna go to Danny. Then I'm gonna go to Pat. The statement I want to make to you is this. Two things that stuck with me where you were talking. Fake trials. I was an Ebor member when it was so many Ebor cases of people filing charges against the BAs or union officials that a member of the Ebor, Bob Chinelli, suggested to another person, Ron Robinson, which is the business manager, let's create a phony Ebor meeting that we'll take all hearings and we act like we're doing a phony hearing, and we just throw it out. Study going through the proper procedures. Now, what I mean by telling you this is, I know they're listening. I don't care. You don't have to go to the union when you have a problem. You can go over the union heads, Great Lakes. If they in bed with 1001, go over their heads to International. And if they in bed with them, go to the Department of Justice. You can always jump over somebody else's head if you feel you're not getting your what you're trying to get out. Now, I understand the pain that everybody's going through that me and you talk about all the time sometimes. And my point is, some people work for 1001, but they only plan dead. They plan dead while they're in the alleys with you, but when they get away from you, they're reporting everything to 1001 that they want to hear. But 1001 don't care because they still get their chance because they don't work for the city. They're getting their double pensions. They don't work for the city. So I'm going to go to Dan. If you want to reply, I'll let you reply. Then I'm going to go to Dan. You want to reply? All right, Dan, I'm going to go to you, Dan.
No, go ahead, Reggie. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go to you, Dan.
Yeah, you're totally right. A lot of laborers are scared. They can't stick together. It's a shame. Then they backstab you. They're running, you know, drivers do the same thing. They run and say the laborer didn't want to do this, and other laborers say the same thing. But that's the way it's been going on, and they voted these guys back in, so they're stuck with them. But I want to go back to this health care case. $25 is only from the pension fund. It's not from what the city owes pre-Korshak annuitants. So there should be more money coming than $25 a month. I mean, some of these, as Pat knows, these premiums are $14,000 to $2,000 a month. So, you know, they'll compare the premiums the city that you're paying now to the city-offered plan. So I don't know what the difference – it depends on what the judge decides, what the difference that
difference from a exchange plan to the group plan for the city? Is there, or is it just a difference of a no plan at all? So, you know, I don't know. This will be decided in court, but they're working on the 2013, and hopefully the judge wants it done by the end of the year. So, I could say there's another court case.
Not to cut you off, Dan. I want to go back to that and rebuttal Reggie. When you saw the auto mechanic who went on strike, did you see how prepared they was? Did you see they was ready for the long haul? Did you see the cases of water they had? See, all of that was strategically done, and it was letting the management know we ready for a long fight. Even if they wasn't, they had grills all on the sidewalk. They had their family members come up there. They doing they children doing their homework on the sidewalk. So they was letting them know whatever price we got to pay, we going to pay it. But we going to send y'all a message. So if y'all really want to mess with us, you can try it. Now, one of the things I saw, all of them side mechanics that wasn't like a Ford dealer or all of them, they business boom. Them guys got rich. I ain't gonna say they got rich. They made a lot. I seen the guy close his car wash down. I was driving over here on Southwest Highway. He closed his car wash down because he had so much business. He had to park the customer cars in his car wash. But that's the message that they sent management, and so management had to adhere to that, but they was ready to fight, man. These cats here, man, they're not ready for that.
A buddy of mine came over to my house. He bought a new truck. The new truck had something wrong with the starter. During the strike, they gave him $1,600 for get him another rental car, and soon as the strike was over, he was in first in line to get his car fixed. And he was telling me, he said, "Dude, I feel screwed because I found when I was in line, they gave another lady behind me $3,200." And he was like, "Who gave the numbers out of how much money it was given out?" But he was upset, but he was glad to get his truck running. My point is, they accommodated all the people they put in. You know, they inconvenienced them. And
inconvenienced, right?
Right. But we as sanitation workers, we so scared, all we thinking about is ourselves. We are selfish. And Peg gets on here all the time, and he gave up his time, his love, everything. Dan, me, sanitation workers are selfish. All they care about is themselves. But when a problem happens to them, and then it's a problem. If it don't happen directly to them, there is no problem.
And then when they reveal this new contract to him, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. That's the sad part about it. When they reveal this new contract, it's already going to be signed, sealed, and delivered, and ain't nothing you can do about it. But like you say, everybody wants you to take the hit. Everybody wants you to go fight in their defense. But then when you say, "Well, come on, rally with me, and stand behind me and let's show them what kind of power I got," nobody want to stand with you. So I'm looking at it on a standpoint, like I say, and like I always used to say, you better have a plan B. You better have a plan B put together. And because these people, this is a business. This is a shrewd business. And they don't care what happens to these laborers, man. So, whatever these people throw at us, I ain't gonna lie, brother, we deserve it. We can't blame nobody but ourselves.
I'm gonna throw it to Pat, but before I throw it to Pat, I'm gonna make a statement. When we started off, me and you are young, but we young bucks to Pat. He's old school. You get a whole local 76 with over 300, maybe even 600 members. That's extra income. So what do? 1001, you give all yourself raises. How crazy is that? So, Pat, it's on you. Anything you want to say?
Well, I agree with everything, but the thing is, they had their chance, Reg. They had it at the election to get out of this shit by them reelecting these same chooches. They gave them the okay to negotiate, and we told them, you do that, you're really going to get screwed. I got people that argue with me yet about the lawyers and everything and the pension board. And I says, listen, when they stand up in court, the people that you were with for 36 years of your life, and you paid and you were loyal to them and you trusted in them, you know, granted, it's a whole different group of people. You know, the people I had, they had hearts. These people are heartless. They're assholes. But the thing is, they don't care about anybody. You could see that. And I told them, I says, when their lawyer gets up in court and says, we don't back the retirees on their court cases, I mean, what kind of bullshit is that? I mean, it just stunned us. How would you say something like that? That shows you where their heart is. It's up their fucking ass.
Wow.
And you know what's bad about this, Pat? You've been a boss. You've been up north. And I'm going to say a little racist statement. The blacks on the south side think the north side has got it easier. And the north side is on the south side tell all the blacks, don't you go south because we'll take care of you better than they will. And I worked on the south side and I worked on the north side. My own people, black, because I'm African-American, want to work the hell out of me and get me fired. Up north, they at least tell you keep everything in-house and, hey, guys, do what you can. They ask you nicely, hey, guys, there's a sofa on so-and-so. Can you guys grab that for me? Just being polite means something. But the south side don't mean nothing. That's something I'm just bringing out. But I respect you, Pat. You worked up north, and you was a good boss. And a lot of people believe in good bosses. On the south side, now they breathe in bad bosses. And
Reg, go ahead. I got to correct you, Ron. I worked all over the city. I mean, 103rd and Doty, I had the tires with mosquitoes out there. And, I was a boss. I was a foreman for 9 years, and I was a district supervisor for 9 years. But 18 years, I was a laborer, and I did everything. I loaded garbage. I did everything. I did it all across the city. In fact, old man Daly and his wife had a garbage truck, especially for me and another guy. It was painted with flowers, and it said, keep Chicago clean on the side. And we had to hit every ward with this garbage truck. You talk about an embarrassment. But, I mean, I worked all over. And the thing is, whenever I worked, when I was a boss, whatever the job was, I worked with the guys. I got a call from Leo Clark one time, and he was laughing. We were setting up the Blues Fest or the Jazz Fest in Grant Park. It was like 90 some degrees out, and there was snow fence on the dump truck, and I'm taking the snow fence off, and I didn't have a shirt on. So, you know, my back, they were filming me. I didn't even know it. So Leo calls me, and he's laughing. Now, he didn't chew me out or anything because Leo Clark was from the street too, and he had all our respect. Can you do me a favor? I go, what, Leo? He says, next time you're on TV, put your shirt on. I go, what? And he's laughing. He says, yeah, you were on TV. You were loading up the truck with snow fence. I mean, that's how it was. Your boss told you to do something. You know, you did it. And you did it to make them look good. And when they look good, they appreciated it. I mean, nowadays, I hear they don't do anything. Even when the blasters came out, I spent 8 hours on a blaster. You know, just to see what the job was like. When they came out with the open truck with the compost, with the wet bags filled with the grass, and you had to throw them up on the dump truck, I was out there for 8 hours doing that. You know, I rode in the truck and I did it. And, you know, I got bitched from a couple of people, and I said, I want to see what the job's about and if you can improve it in any way. And I was one of the guys that was pushing Well, why not use a garbage truck? It's loaded to ground, and you're not going to have these wet bags breaking all over the place. So finally, they got the garbage trucks to do it. But, no, I always worked with the guys. And when you're one of the guys, they respect you for it. You know, I never told anybody to do something that I wouldn't do. So go ahead, take it from there.
Hey, Pat, I didn't want to mean it like the way I interpreted what I'm saying is, let me rephrase it. By me working on the soft side, I seen both sides of the fence. And 516 know it. On the soft side, there's no respect. None at all. It's almost like when you go to work, clock your chain to your ankle and shut the fuck up. If you do anything I don't like, I'm going to intimidate you with writing you up or call your mother or your father, and they're going to beat the shit out of you. It's a disrespect. So that's what I was trying to go at. But I agree. I didn't know you worked everywhere, but I know as far as being up north, they treat you better. They talk to you better. So that's what I was trying to say.
Marriage wasn't always like that, though. It wasn't always like that. What was it? With the riots, okay? I'm working with a crew in the 7th Ward. The ward office was an old building. I think it was at 79th and Stony Island or 71st and Stony Island. This is back in 67 or 68. And I'm working with a black driver. I'll never forget his name, Kitchen. This guy used to junk newspapers. You couldn't sit in a truck. He had newspapers all over the place. And there was two black laborers I was working with. Well, we're working in the alley. All of a sudden, bam, 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 rocks, bottles. They started stoning the whole crew because I was a white guy. I was on the crew. These guys grabbed me. I was, 15, 16 years old at the time. They grabbed me, threw me in the hopper with the garbage, and they got behind me, and they were ringing the buzzer for the guy to take off, and we got the hell out of there. They probably saved my ass that day. I mean, everybody respected everybody on the job. I don't know how come it turned into this. It shouldn't
but
be
you know
this
what?
Way.
Not to cut you off, what you see now is poor management, and all these guys that's in management now never had either you had training on how to deal with people, or you went to school, you went to some kind of management school, and you got the training on how to deal with people. All of these guys are throwing them spots. All of them guys never had classes on that. So all they know how to do is bootlick and be assholes. And it's crazy, you know, it's like when we had those hot days a couple weeks ago, we up in the 90s. We up in 95 degrees, and we going in Dunkin' Donuts to cool off. Now, that's supposed to be a cooling center. Now, they only giving you 15 minutes. But this is what they don't care or don't understand. When your body overheats, it takes longer than 15 minutes to cool down. And just because you put a beverage in your system, that doesn't mean that your body has cooled down all the way. But like you say, by them not caring, not having no training, even the schooling they went to me, they're still a bunch of dumbasses. And they're a bunch of cowards also. Because like I say, you could go in certain neighborhoods and write tickets, but then when you go in Mount Greenwood, oh, we can't write them no ticket. But as soon as you get to the black wards and the Hispanic wards and the brown wards, you don't even question about them getting a ticket. They get a ticket right off the bat. So you being manager, you got to say, look, everybody get a ticket. Not just one side of the city gets tickets. So that's why I'm saying, to me, they're not men. They cowards, and they bootlicking Negroes. So who don't care? The only power they have is to hurt us. They have no other power. If you could go down there and they mess my check up and you could come back with me a check the next day or say, hey, write Shavers another check, then to me you got some juice. But besides that, the power them Negroes have is to hurt us, period. And they don't even realize when they was getting interviewed, they was looking for them type of Negroes to hurt people, period. So if they listening, I don't care. So that's where I'm at with that. So anybody want to respond, go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to let anybody respond, but I want to say one thing before you respond. I had a choice to hurt Negroes, and I chose not to. And they hurt this black Negro. But you know what? Sometimes I get sad about it, and sometimes I get happy. And I think about the money, because I think about all the people that hurt Negroes, got $100,000, shut the fuck up and say yes to everything we tell you to do. And, they give you a basketball game, a football game, baseball game, buy you a bag in the wintertime, and just treat you like a Negro. But deep in my heart, I cannot stand to look at another man's face knowing you voted for me and I did opposite of what you voted for. I don't want to hurt Negroes or whites or others. It's just not who I am. So I just had to throw that in there. Go ahead.
Dad, I don't want to sound racist. They scared of white folks. For some strange reason, they got that Negro syndrome. They scared of white folks. They don't harm them. Don't touch them. Now, look, if this the grid, and the west end of the city is finished, and the east of the city is not finished, so you send the west end to go help the north end, and they don't show up. Do you send the cavalry, and the cavalry don't show up? What is that? So when they send it, they tell them, we ain't going over there. What is that?
It's an ice pick in the front tire.
So I'm just calling it like I see it. It's crazy. I'm calling it like I see it, and that's all it is. These cats, they scared. They scared. They still have that fear in them of losing their job, and they gonna get spanked if they don't do the right thing. So that's just what I see. So I'm just speaking what I see. So if anybody get offended, I'm sorry, but the only thing I see is them putting their foot on our necks. And riding us, like I say, it's 95 degrees and you still worried about alleys. You ain't worried about a person could fall out. It's humid as hell. No wind is blowing. Maggots, cat shit, dog shit, human shit, drug paraphernalia, and you worried about units. Instead of going to your boss and say, hey, be cool, we going to get it done. It's hot out there today. Leave the Negroes alone. Let them work. But instead, hey, you took 10 minutes too long. I say I was intended to take longer than that. But my partner left out, so I wanted to be in unison with my partner, so I left. But what you fail to understand is I'm still hot. Like I say, man, go ahead, Reggie. Y'all go ahead, man.
Anybody want to say something? I'm going to say something. A person told me that. And I told him, I said, it's cheaper for you to take a 20-minute break for the paramedics to come to the alley and your whole truck is down while you're having a heart attack of a heat stroke. So, Dan or Pat?
Well, I totally agree. This culture is a reign of terror instituted by our union leadership to harass, get turnover from career service laborers to hire general laborers, and to eventually
Absolutely.
Privatize. Our union is totally in bed with on privatization. Just the other day, I remember when I was working before I retired, I complained to the union about the private companies hired by the Chamber of Commerce that were picking up our baskets and emptying them. Well, guess what? I was getting petition signed yesterday on Clark Street. They're still doing the same thing. So our union, instead of coming out to do their job to tell these private companies to leave the baskets alone, no, they're pulling up to the pension board for the vote on the pensions, even though they're not eligible to vote. They all pulled up to hang just to hang around, to say hi to Chuck Roberti, maybe too. So Skip's not doing his job. Cianelli's not doing his job. None of them are doing their job. But this is a culture created by our union. It's a reign of terror. You have general laborers that are afraid to speak out. You have career service laborers that are afraid to speak out because they got harassed and targeted like we've all been targeted. Like Reggie and yourself, 516. But It's just if you speak out, you get targeted a little more than the other guy that doesn't speak out.
Right.
So this is a reign of terror. And I'm surprised not more laborers came out to vote for last election. And, you know, I ran for pension trustee. It's the same with the retirees as current workers. The retirees came out to vote against their own interests. They voted for a guy that's collecting three pensions that lost 15% of our money in 2015. This is what they want. You know, I would normally say, if that's what you want, great. But guess what? That's affecting me. That's not what I want.
Right,
so,
right.
Guys
right.
that stayed home, shame on them. The guys that voted for the current administration in the for the retiree trustee, shame on them also. I want to see the looks on their face when it goes belly up. I want to go out to Elmwood Park and look at all their faces when that fund goes bankrupt.
Hey, Dan, who the hell had a fight for to get their COLA back? The pension didn't. The retiree on that board, he was there at the time. He didn't fight to get the COLA back. The retirees had to fight to get the COLA back, and the retirees are fighting to get the health care or a portion of the health care. The union didn't do shit for us. The only thing the union did was say, oh, we don't know who you are. You know, we don't stand with you. Yeah, well, fuck you, too. I don't stand with you. I'll piss on you before I stand with you.
Hey, you know what? Listen, I had an incident where the waste management truck had beat us there. Well, they was there before we got there, and right as we got there, they was pulling off. So you know they got that arm on the truck where they just pick up the cart and they dump it over into the top of the truck or dump it over into the dumpster. So the guy wastes all the paper because it's a windy day, and just as I'm coming, the resident comes out and say, hey, why did you throw all that paper on the ground? I say, ma'am, I didn't do that. Your waste management truck just threw all that paper on the ground. And if you can see, you see he throwing paper on the ground now. And the only reason she didn't call on me because she saw it herself. But the thing is that if they get there before you do and they throw all that crap on the ground, then when your bootlicking Negroes come through, they looking at you to get it up or looking at you like you the one threw it down there. And I'm like, well, when are y'all going to say something to waste management about the trash that they throwing or the boxes that they leaving with the styrofoam in it? Now, they say they leaving it because they don't take styrofoam. My thing is this. Well, then you can take the styrofoam out and then still take your cardboard. But when they leave it, because it makes the alley still look bad with all them boxes, they still want us to get it. So, what? Even the laborers, why y'all not speaking up against that? Leave that shit.
Yep.
But that's where we at, man. Everybody, like I say, everybody been lulled to sleep.
Can't even say thank God I'm retired, that I don't have to put up with this shit. I retired and I still got to put up with shit. I put up with more shit now than when I work. So figure that out.
Hey, maybe you should come back to work.
No, they don't want me at work.
I got a joke for Pat. Hey, Pat. It's almost like having a little brother. You out of high school, he keep coming to you saying, "Hey, Pat, they messing with me. I'm a freshman. They messing with me. Like, man, I got to go up here and check these guys." Sometimes the big brother has to come back to check all the guys messing with his little brother.
I went through that. I know.
Oh my god!
But you know what? I went in overtime for this, but I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna get Dan, Pat, and I'm gonna give you 516 something to say. But I'm gonna say this: I was hurt when I found out they won. Yes, I was. I was relieved. The reason I was relieved is because stress can kill. Everybody knows certain people are going through things. Pat, I pray for you every day. But people don't need stress. And if a person can't change their environment, then you need to get an escape hatch you can disappear from the environment. Danny's a rebel. He reminds me of Braveheart. And you be like, man, it's too many of them. Nah, fuck that, I'm going down. And you got to like, all right, I'm going to roll with you, Darren. You know, this is my last ride. But everybody got their own wish. My wish is I just wanted to do the right thing. That was my wish. So I suffer my consequences, and I'm willing to take it. But in my heart, I believe I did the right thing. And every union member that did not stand with any of us, that's on them. So when they get rolled up for 15, 20 days, subject to be fired, drug test, you're out of here. Don't call my phone. Then I'm going to be a dick to you. Don't call my phone. That's how I feel. So I'm going to go in order, and I'm going to go 516, and I'm going to go to Dan, and I'm going to let Pat close us out. Let's go to 516.
So what are you saying? Am I giving a statement of what I wish would happen?
Hey, this is a closing argument.
You know what I think. You know what I believe. I believe if Kerry Austin really wanted to contain the mayor and really have a section in the city that could really be a competitive part of the city and really look nice, she would build a real army with the sanitation laborers that she got. Instead, she got a bunch of she got a bunch of individuals around her, but that ain't enough. If she surrounded herself with a bigger army, she could hold the mayor at bay. But maybe, like you say, maybe that's how she wanted. Maybe she's scared also. But with the power you have and being in office that long, you would think that the 34th Ward would look better than that. And you would think that, like I say, she will. Because I don't see them having a heart for people. It's always dog them or I don't give a fuck about them. Maybe they should have went to school and did something else. But the thing is, like you say, when we clean up for you, we still make you look good. But in return, what we get? You know, so I just think my statement is I just think that her being in office that long, I thought that she was wiser and smarter to build a bigger army than the army that she have, where she can really step out with the mayor and say, hey, this is what our constituents going to have in the 34th. And then maybe the other aldermen will see that and follow suit, and they'll have the mayor where they want him. But at this point, he got everybody in his hand. That's my closing statement, y'all. Have a good night.
Hey, don't hang up. I want to say this. I posted something on Facebook about Kerry Austin and her son and her husband. And off the top of my head, I'm going to remember some of the stuff I posted. I can't be mad at Kerry Austin, a woman that don't know nothing about anything she's jumping into with and having a white man, I'm going to just say power over her to tell her what to do. So in her mind, she did everything that she's supposed to do as a mother and a black woman, take care of her little puppies. And she did it very well. And all her little puppies are bullies, drug addicts, and dumb fucks. But yet and still, she's in power. So you can't be mad at her, because if a mother's going to take care of her pups. And I stand behind that. I stand behind that. So I'm going to go to Dan.
Be nice, Reggie.
Reggie, it's like that in a lot of war organizations. There's a lot of bust outs. They're friends of friends of friends, and they get the good jobs. But they don't do much work. So I heard in Kerry Austin's ward, they had a very low turnout for the aldermanic election. She knows it, so she's not going to change until there's a bigger turnout that give her a competition. So it's the same in a lot of these other wards, north or south. It doesn't matter. All these organizations got their share of bust outs. O'Connor's got his. Lorino's definitely got hers. So, I understand the frustration, but the residents got to come out to vote in those wards to get these people out. And I just want to say, you know, like Pat says, the city claims it's broke. They got money to hire our labor lawyer to fight against us in our retirement care. Now they're talking about Amazon coming to town. Well, guess what? I picked up an employment guide out of one of those free boxes. Guess what? Joliet, start work right away. Amazon Fulfillment Center, earn $12.50 to $16 an hour. That's Joliet. On the next page, Waukegan. Start working Amazon Fulfillment Center right away, $11.75 an hour. So all this BS about Amazon getting $100,000 a year jobs, it's just not true. So tell your friends, fellow workers, to call the mayor on this. Call him out on it before the deal is done. Say, we don't want this deal. This is just going to screw taxpayers. And guess what? You're going to get more furlough days because of it. You're going to get less benefits because of it. It all boils down. They take the low-hanging fruit. Sanitation is the low-hanging fruit. Crossing guards, the low-hanging fruit. Librarians, the low-hanging fruit. Who has Ron picked on since he got in 2011? Those three groups. The crossing guards are now privatized. They work for a private company. They're no longer with the city. The librarian assistants got laid off. When you walk into a library, look at the employees. They're not happy people, and I don't blame them. They're making a low wage, and they're expected to do work of three and four people because Ron doesn't want to hire any librarians. Same with sanitation. But if you look at other departments, water, where they have five, six laborers standing around a hole, guess what? Those laborers vote for Ron. So your own union works against your own interests, and other unions work against your interests. It's an uphill battle, but sanitation laborers better wake up. I don't think they will, but I just hope the pension fund is there in 10 years so I can collect a few more checks.
Go ahead, Pat.
Well, the whole thing with Amazon is that it's going to be like the rest of this shit. This idiot's going to pay the highest of prices to bribe them to come here. And if they do come here, you know, like Dan says, that doesn't equal no $100,000 a year. The same thing with that puke-ass museum on the lakefront. A deal for 100 years, $10 for 100 years in rent. And then they had an option to renew it two more times. So in 300 years, you're going to make $30 off a lakefront property. And then
Wow. They
had that Mickey Mouse Club stand up of black ministers that Ron paid off in some way. Who knows what he did for them. And they were claiming they wanted this museum because they need the jobs and this and that. It's going to be so many construction jobs. Well, I got news for you, reverends. Those construction jobs belong to the suburbs. All the companies are suburban. They put in the low bids. There isn't nothing left in the city anymore. So all those big jobs would have been suburban. And you know what? Like my man 561 says, it's going to go right down to, you know, what they give you. You're going to work Mickey D's for minimum wage. What is it, $8 or $9 an hour? Or you're going to be an usher at the museum. Same thing with Amazon. Amazon's going to pay them less than what the suburbs are paying if they should get it. And this idiot is going to take our TIF, which belongs to the pensions. That was all our pension money that they never paid. And, you know, why the feds don't jump in on this, I have no idea. But it sucks. It all sucks. Anyway, I'm getting stretched, Reg.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna crack a little joke. I hope we don't offend nobody. But the reason I do what I do, because I believe in what I do and I care. If they even attempted to take my life, I only have one thing, and I told my wife, if I die, do not marry Pat, because it's going to be worse. Pat, you kept the revolution going, and she can't stand this, and I know it'll kill my wife. So that's a joke. But I'm going to say this. I had to throw that out there because,
I hope she's standing right behind you, too. I hope she's right behind you.
No, she's standing right next to me. Say, scream for me, please. All right, she doesn't say hello. My wife, and you know, the reason I said that because deep in my heart, everybody on this station gives up something for something. And our wives and our concubines, or however you want to break it down, gives up something to deal with you. But we all are fighting for one goal, and we just got to keep fighting. Danny fought for something that he knew it was an uphill fight. fight, but he did it. Pat been fighting for God knows how long and still fighting. 516, I know him. He's a fighter. And we all fight for something. And the question is, the people we fight for, it's almost like being a savior. I tell you to cross the bridge and you don't want to cross, then I have to leave you. And there's nothing wrong with leaving people that don't want to cross the bridge. So anybody want to make a response before we leave?
I would say this real quick before anybody say anything. I had that situation when I lived in Memphis. And we had a class action about to go down. And when it was time for everybody to show up, and the lawyer told me, yeah, you got them if your people show up. And every last one of them left me holding the ball. So when the owner found out what we was doing, he told me out the gate, you might as well go ahead and quit now. So my point is, people, I was a block club president, and I was telling people, I'm like, look, don't vote me in as the president if the bricks only gonna fly through my window when shit get hot. I said, because I know what y'all would do. You stand with a person long enough, and then when they get hot on you, you bag up and leave them. I say the same way they done King. All them people supposed to have been with him, but he still wound up assassinated. But my thing is this: if I'm the only one getting bricks through my window, I'm not putting up a big fight. I'll put up a mediocre fight, but I ain't gonna fight hard as I should for somebody who ain't gonna stand with me when it get hot. I ain't got nowhere to turn. Nobody going to feed me. Nobody going to feed my family. Yeah, I believe in God. I trust in God. But God said don't be a damn fool either. So these people,
God,
you put your neck there and then leave you hanging.
And God don't work for sanitation. So,
Reggie,
hey, God don't work
tonight
for sanitation. And God's not going to be at your hearing when they give you that time off. And I hate to be cruel, but it is what it is. We're in reality. Pat, Dan, anything you want to say before we close out?
And here, all those years behind the salad wagon, whenever I got pissed off, I used to go, God damn it, and it was for nothing.
Dan?
Thanks for a good show, Reg. We'll see you next week.
All right, and I'm gonna say this before I'm about to play the last song. I'm gonna play Tracy Chapman if it's not now. But I want to say this. I want to thank Pat for telling me always set some time for overtime. We went overtime, so I want to say thank you to Pat because Pat, sometimes you can't put everything in a quick sentence when it got to be in a paragraph. I want to say thank you to Danny for running because Dan didn't tell y'all the story, but 1001 came out there, and half of them couldn't even vote. It was about intimidation. So thank you, Danny, for running. I want to thank you, the 516. I know you personally. And many a times that I said, fuck the union and fuck black people and fuck laborers, and I'm black. You told me, man, you're going out wrong. You're going out totally wrong. And I appreciate that because when you hurt, you hurt. And sometimes people have to encourage you when you're on your last. So we got 2 minutes, or I'm going to play. But I want to say thank you to everybody, and then I'm going to play the song, and we're out of here.
Reg, just be
yes,
yourself.
Sir.
Just be yourself.
All right. I appreciate it, big
brother. Reg, I love
yes.
all humanity. I love all humanity. I love black people, too. But it hurts so goddamn bad when you walk up in front of your brother's face and 'cause he got a little education or he work on the fire truck, he don't even speak to you. That like took the life out of me. Looked me right in my face and kept walking. Like he have arrived. I've made it. We on two different levels. But go ahead, Red.
No, you're right. We better. I want to say every Monday we will be here. I'm going to try to get us on YouTube and do a channel. We want a YouTube channel. So
it's
that's
gone
what I'm going
now.
To
do. Then when it's not today, yeah.
promises, a love declared for days to come, is as good as none. The morning comes, you can wait for the new day. You can wait and lose this heart. You can wait and soon be sorry. If not now, then when? If not today, then why make your promises? Hey, love. For days to come is as good as none. Now love's the only thing that's free. We must take it where it's found. Pretty soon it may become late. If not now, then when? Then why make your promises? A love declared for days to come is as good as none. If not now, what can? We all must live our lives, always feeling, always thinking, the moment has arrived. If not now,
once again, I want to say thank you to everybody. Thanks for listening, Pat. Thank you for being a good supporter. And if you can, throw it on your line of your members and say, Reggie's trying to do it, get with them. So thank you again. Pat, you have a beautiful day. Tell your wife I said hi.
You got it, Reg.
All right, peace out. They left.